It's amazing when you try to decide which way to go on a sermon and you ask the Lord to direct you and you start out with going one way and it seems that everything turns a different way. And I believe the Lord has a message for us today that we need to, every young person, older person, it's for all of us. And the Sunday school lesson was a great hinge to hinge off of, a great platform. Zechariah 13:9, for God to say, it is my people. In Revelation 12:9, we find this group of people that God says, it is my people. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Notice that. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So obviously, Satan's censorship and his deception, his accusation, this is age old. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, which was the church, okay? The church in the Old Testament was Israel, spiritual Israel. The church in the New Testament is God's spiritual people among all nations. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice a couple things here. This very familiar passage to you. But I want to zone in on something. The blood of the Lamb is something Jesus did. The word of their testimony is something we do, something they did. They love not their lives is something they didn't do. But the primary thing they were doing was the word of their testimony. The primary thing that they were doing was speaking God's word, the testimony of Jesus Christ. The word of God, God's truth injected into this world, okay? Satan hates that. He tries to censor it. The reason that they needed the blood of the Lamb is because he was trying to shut them up. The reason they needed to love not their lives unto the death is because Satan wanted to shut them up. Two things I want you to get today. God wants you to speak up, and Satan wants you to shut up when it comes to God's words. God's words through your mouth. The primary work of these people on earth was the word of their testimony. Okay? The word of their testimony being the testimony of Jesus Christ. In other words, injecting God's truth into whatever situation, wherever God leads you, wherever you have jurisdiction, wherever it's appropriate, whether it's the women in the home, a woman in a Sunday school teacher, young people together, the father to the children, the employer and the employee, the master, the servant, the politician, the minister, wherever you find yourself, people's thinking is either being guided by the deceptions of the devil, or it's being guided by the testimony of Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God. So understand, Satan's deception, his persecution, and his accusations, which we see he's the accuser, he's the persecutor, and he's the deceiver, and all of that is defeated and made ineffectual. In other words, it doesn't reach its purpose if Christians are there speaking God's words, if people are hearing and believing God's word, excuse me, then they will not be controlled by the deception, the accusation, or the persecution. But Brother Mark, we shouldn't criticize other churches Who told you that? Brother Mark, we shouldn't insist on accurate doctrine and argue for truth. Let others have their own truth. Where did you hear that? Brother Mark, we shouldn't judge and condemn sin and make people feel like sinners. Says who? Says who? Do you understand the primary thing going on planet Earth determines whether you are in the, like we talked in Zechariah there, the third that is brought through the fire, who's tried like silver and gold, the ones that God said, this is my people? Obviously, he didn't claim the other two-thirds.
Right.
Okay? There is going to be a remnant of people whom God says, this is my people. And it's not going to be based on the fact of their color, their race, their origin. It's not going to be based on the fact of whether they were a mechanic or a farmer or a construction worker. It's going to be based on the fact of whether the accusation, the persecution, and the deception controlled their life, or the testimony of Jesus Christ controlled their life.
Right.
Satan hates it when people speak up. Brother Mark, we shouldn't tell people they're going to hell if they're not following God's program. You should just love people. That is love.
Right.
How can I say I loved you if I'm not working to get you in the Zechariah 13:9 one-third? Where God says, it is my people. When I was in high school, I gave my life to the Lord and I came back to my high school. I was surprised at how Satan hated it when God's words were being injected in a place where he worked very diligently to deceive. A place where his deception was rank. And Satan understood the value of young people. And I went back to Manzano High School carrying my Bible and witnessing and passing out tracts and having a Bible club. There were people on campus, we called them narcs. They were narcotics officers. Obviously, they were there to watch out for drugs. They were there to watch. They had walkie-talkies. They didn't carry a gun or anything. And they didn't really do much for stopping fights. But they were there primarily to watch out for drug traffic, and they didn't do that very well either. But one thing that they really zoned in on was the guy that had a Bible and during his lunch hour was talking to people with an open Bible. They would always, without fail, if they saw me, they would always take me to the office. I was absolutely breaking no rule, not disrupting any class, not doing anything that they had any authority over. It was on my free time. People could talk about anything they wanted to. They could wear T-shirts with all kinds of vulgarity on them. They could use all kinds of foul language. They could talk about the party. They could talk about anything. But if those narcotics officers saw me with my Bible open talking to someone, I was always taken to the office. And you don't think the devil has his crowd? You start speaking up, and you're going to find that there's one thing in this world that Satan does not want. He does not want God's words injected where he's busy persecuting, deceiving, and accusing. Mm-hmm. Why do they hate Jesus? John 12:48, I want you to listen to the purpose and the primary work of Jesus Christ. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. That's how they rejected him. Okay? There's a lot of people today who they would never claim to reject Jesus, but they do reject his words. Okay? They're lying to themselves. And receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. No, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. Does that characterize your life? I want to follow Jesus. Jesus had one purpose in life, And that was to speak the words that his father had given him to speak. That's why they hated him. Satan's crowd is speaking Satan's words. Do you ever think about that? Satan has no lack of people speaking his words. They're all over the place. They're in churches. They're in seminaries. They're on the news. Everywhere. The devil has people mouthing his words. Some of them even think that they're mouthing God's words and they're mouthing Satan's words. That's called deception, right? That's what his work is. So if you're going to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, there's something you're going to have to come to grips with. There is one reason why, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are on this planet still and not just taken up to heaven when you accept Christ. Okay? The primary reason is you need to be a channel of God's words to your children, to your husband, to your wife, in your home, a channel of God's words. Can you imagine what a great purpose in life that is? And yet, so many times, that is forgotten and pushed aside because, after all, we're doing this, we're doing that, we got this to do, we got that to do. But the primary thing that God wants you to do is speak his words. And the primary thing that Satan does not want you to do is be speaking God's words. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And words communicate thoughts. Words are representative of ideas. Words are representative of truth or error. Words represent God or Satan. Words represent God's reality or Satan's false reality. In Exodus 4:10, we find Moses said unto the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." And the Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth? And who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." Oh, it's one thing. It's one thing to want to be a faithful servant of the Lord, but when the Lord says, I want you to say something, what a challenge that is. Jeremiah 1:6, God called Jeremiah to be a prophet. And then said I, "Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Jeremiah was a priest. Jeremiah wasn't a little child at this time. Okay? It's a figure of speech. But when God said, "I want you to be my mouthpiece. I have a message, and I want you to deliver my message." Jeremiah's like, "That's way too big for me. I can't do that. I'm a child." And that's what, in other words, I'm not up to it. I'm not equipped. I can't do it. It's too big for me. In Isaiah, God called Isaiah. It says in Isaiah 6:1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Overwhelmed. "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." At first, there was that, "I can't do it. I'm a child. I'm unworthy. I'm not eloquent." But then later we find in Isaiah 50 and verse 4, Isaiah says, "The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." The primary thing God wants you to do is speak up. And the primary thing that Satan wants you to do is shut up. Unless you're speaking his words, of course. Then he's glad for you to speak up. But I wonder how much we speak God's words compared to how much do we speak Satan's words. Satan wants you to hush. Satan wants to stop the testimony of Jesus Christ. Satan does not want you injecting truth and reality into a world of foolishness and deception and lies and false reality and vanity. Satan doesn't want God's words injected into that. That light, that truth, that reality, that common sense. God has the words that are smart, and Satan has made the world stupid, and he doesn't want God's smarts coming into it and messing things up. And so Satan's going to do all he can to keep you from delivering God's words. And there's one way he's going to try and do it. The primary work is this. It's something called pain. Pain can come in many different forms. Emotional, physical, mental. Basically, Satan wants you to hush, and if you don't, he's going to make it painful. And there's two primary avenues that he's going to inflict this pain. Number one, accusation, condemnation. He wants to exploit your failures. He wants to make your inadequacies and your failures and your mistakes and anything that he can find that he can condemn and accuse, he's going to blow it up real big and tell you, you have no business opening your mouth. And number two, he's going to use persecution. Accusation and persecution. And all of that is to make you hush. To stop the Christian voice in our world. To make the Christians hush. The serpent is wroth. You start speaking out God's words in an appropriate, proper, godly way. You start speaking truth into the lies. You start speaking holiness into the unholiness. Satan wants to make you pay. For over 40 years, I have felt the pressure to shut up. From the time I started carrying my Bible to high school, handing out tracts, witnessing, writing letters, teaching, witnessing, preaching, standing up against false doctrine, there's always been that pressure. The first time I heard myself preach, I've told you about that. What pressure there was? The serpent whispering, "You better not do that again. You'd be better off not doing that again." The first time I got emotional when I was preaching, Satan came along and said, "You look like an idiot. You made a fool of yourself. You better just shut up." When I would hear another preacher do a really good job and I wish I could say it like that. Satan would say, "You'll never say it like that. You might as well give up. Let him do it." When I would fail in my own life or remember past failures, Satan was always there. "Who do you think you are? What right do you have to talk? You just need to shut up." When I felt my own lack of knowledge, when I'd been preaching something and then all of a sudden I realized that was wrong. That was not even right. It's aggravating. It's frustrating. Satan says, "Why don't you just shut up?" When I would embarrass myself, when I felt betrayed by people I labored to help, when I felt the sting of ingratitude, when my family would embarrass me, When those under my preaching turned and followed the devil. When speaking up brought suffering to people I loved. Satan is saying, I told you, shut up. I told you, hush. You're going to pay. And my question to you is, how's it working in your life? I'm telling you what Satan's doing. Mm-hmm. Moses said, I'm not eloquent, I can't speak well. Who told you that, Moses? Jeremiah said, I'm unlearned, I don't know enough, I'm a child. Who told you that, Jeremiah? Isaiah, I'm not worthy. I don't have much to offer. I've got unclean lips. I'm not well trained in all this. I'm not going to say it right. Who told you that, Isaiah? Satan's ministers said to Paul, his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. Those were the ministers of Satan. They were telling the Corinthians. They were there and the Corinthians were listening to him. That didn't feel good. And Paul heard about it. His bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. You know, you feel like saying, well, go to hell then. If that you want to go be deceived then. I'm just trying to help you. I'm not making any money off you. You know, like Samuel, whose horse have I taken? And Satan says, yeah, I told you. Keep your mouth shut. But what did Paul answer? And this is not Paul's answer to the Corinthians, but this is Paul's answer to the devil. In Acts 26:19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first to them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes, the Jews, energized by who?
The devil.
Satan. Caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first to rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus, same thing, said with a loud voice, Paul, you're crazy. Thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. And he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness, sound-mindedness. There's a story of an old preacher who was listening to a preacher that I knew. He was preaching down in Texas. And in the auditorium, there was this little old preacher who'd been preaching for a long time, about 80 years old. And just recently, he had retired. He was looking forward to the chance to retire. Just get out of the strife, get off the front lines, have a quiet retirement, just kind of rest and enjoy the last years of his life. But after sitting there listening to that preacher preach, the Spirit of God began to stir in his heart. And the story goes that at the end of the service, he raised his shaky hand and said, I just want you to know that a few weeks ago I retired. I was hoping to get out of the battle and quit, just get away and have some quiet time, away from the criticism, away from the taunting, away from the challenge, the continual friction. But he said, as I heard that preacher preaching tonight, God stirred in my heart and smote my heart. And he lifted his shaking hand and said, I'm re-enlisting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's some people in here tonight, this morning. There's some people in here today. You're getting tired of the battle. You're getting tired of being different. Getting tired of being the weird one. God wants you to speak up. Satan wants you to shut up. God has words for you to speak. You're a child. You're a young man. You don't want all the other young people looking at you and saying, oh, you know, okay, preacher. You don't want to be treated like that. When I was a young man and I gave my life to the Lord, I wanted to be popular just as much as you do. I wanted to be admired just as much as you do. I wanted the girls to like me just as much as you do. But when I started standing for the Lord, in our youth department, I wasn't invited to a lot of the after church gatherings. I'm talking about after I was out of high school. There was a what they called a college and career class. And I didn't go to it much because I had started preaching to the junior high boys and had a Young Elijah's Club with the junior high boys. And it was a great opportunity to preach and minister there. But when they would, after church Sunday night, they would all go to Denny's or this or that. And they would never invite me. In fact, one time, a boy named Eugene, who was my friend, he said, hey, they're all going to Denny's. Why don't you come? And I said, I don't think they want me to come. Oh, yeah, why don't you come? I said, okay, I'll go. So when I got there, they were all sitting down, and there was a lot of talking going on. I didn't know all that was said, but Eugene was sitting there. And I came walking in and just sat down at the table by Eugene, and everything got quiet. Nobody's talking now. So I stayed there for a little while, and then I thought, I think I'll leave. I got up and left. And next time I saw Eugene, he was just, I can't believe it, he said. I can't believe it. He said they were talking about this and this and this, and you came in, and everything just stopped. I wanted to say, I told you. Yeah, no young person enjoys that. No young person wants to go to school. I sat in my history class, and the teacher there, he was kind of a crude old fella. He taught German, and he taught history, and he knew I carried my Bible, and I witnessed to him, talked to him. One time I asked him to which lunch he had, and I said, can I come into your room while you're having lunch? During your lunch and talk with you, okay? We talked for a long time. And he respected me, but at the same time, in high school, oftentimes half the class is taken up with current events, okay? The teacher likes talking to the student about current events. And so very often, I'd be back there working on homework or something, and they'd be discussing some issue, and he'd say, well, let's find out what the preacher thinks about it. That was a great opportunity, but it wasn't like it's the place you want to be as a young person, you know, because it was said in somewhat of a taunting way. It wasn't in a honorable way. Nonetheless, I was happy to be serving the Lord in that way. I was happy to know that I'm representing the Lord Jesus Christ. I only wish I'd have done a better job, because I look back now and see so many stupid things I did, and Satan says, see? You should have been quiet. In Revelation 12:11, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, I want you to notice, the blood of the Lamb and they loved not their lives unto the death are the two things that kept the word of their testimony going. Okay? Satan came at him with accusation. What did they do? Well, they had the blood of the Lamb. In what way did they overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb? There's only one way. Satan throwing something at you that's true. Otherwise, you wouldn't need the blood of the Lamb. You just say you're a liar. That's not true. No, you can't say that. Because Satan's telling you something that is true, and he's telling it to you. He's reminding you of it. He wants to rub your nose in it. He wants you to shut up. And stop talking for God, because you're not worthy. What business do you have talking? And the blood of the Lamb, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And don't get to thinking you're so too hot. There is not one person in here, there's never been one Christian on planet Earth that could overcome Satan's accusations any other way. Because the fact is, you've got something that Satan knows about that he's going to stick your nose in if he can. You've got something that the only way that you can keep on with the testimony of the Lord, the only way you're going to go forward, the only way you're going to get rid of him is when you plead the blood of Jesus Christ Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood. He's my high priest. I have been washed. I've been redeemed. I've been cleansed. And I don't have to shut up because I've been commissioned. The one who died for me, the one who shed his blood for me, the one who washed me, commissioned me to speak his truth. Amen. I heard a preacher say one time, you need to, whatever stick you can find, beat the devil with it. The reason that you have something in your past that the devil wants to throw at you is because you listened to him some time ago. Because you were influenced by his lies. That should make you want to revolt. That should make you want to take the lie that he told and beat him over the head with it. I'm going to testify, Satan, that you're a liar. I'm going to testify, Satan, that you're a deceiver. I'm going to, whatever you say it's white, I'm going to say it's not white, because it's not if you say it is. If you want to say go east, I'm going to go west, because I know you're a liar. Well, if you've suffered from his lies, if you've suffered from his lies, why don't you expose his lies? Why don't you stop suffering from his lies and expose his lies? You know he's a liar. There's the second thing. They love not their lives unto the death. The Bible said the dragon was wroth. In 1655, we were reading the other night as a family. In 1655, the Duke of Savoy sent 15,000 French soldiers up into the Alpine valleys to massacre, torture, and pillage the Waldensians, because they wouldn't submit to Roman Catholicism. But that's not the main reason. If they had just quietly lived and shut their mouths, there would not have been the animosity from the devil. The Roman Catholic Church had dominion, and it was teaching false doctrine. And if they had just been quiet about it, it would have been different. Back in the 1300s, or 13th century, which would be the 1400s, a man named Rinario Sacconi became the Inquisitor General for the Pope against the Waldensians. So this was their primary enemy, okay? And he writes, quote, "Among all the sects, there is no one more pernicious to the church than that of the Leonists." They were called Leonists. They were called the Poor Men of Lyon. They were called Waldensians, Valences. They were called a number of different things, partly because of who they followed, who their preachers were, where they lived, okay? So he says that of the Leonists for three reasons. In the first place, because it is the most ancient. For some say that it dates back to the time of Sylvester, AD 325. Others to the time of the apostles. In the second place, because it is the most widespread. There is hardly a country where it does not exist. In the third place, because if other sects strike with horror those who listen to them, the Leonists, on the contrary, possess a great outward appearance of piety. As a matter of fact, they lead irreproachable lives before men. And as regards their faith and the articles of their creed, they are orthodox. Their one fault is that they blaspheme against the church and the clergy. In other words, the only thing we have against them is they won't quit exposing the false doctrine, the hypocrisy, and the sin in the Roman church. That's what their Inquisitor General said. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. Now, they loved not their lives unto the death. That mean they didn't enjoy life? Does that mean they didn't love their children? They didn't love their family? They didn't love living on the planet? No. What it means is they love something more than life. Mm-hmm. They love something more than life. There was something they were not willing to give up. And God identifies them as those that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. God identifies them as those in Zechariah, he says, it is my people. And here he identifies them as they overcame Satan, the accuser, the persecutor. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I'm speaking to someone out there. There's people in other nations that will hear my voice on this topic. Some people out there, they've lost their job because they refused to go along with the garbage that's being pushed in society. They refused to believe the lie. They refused to not speak up. They refused to hush when it was time to speak God's words. Whether they were a science teacher, whatever their situation was, they lost their job, they lost their income, they lost their friends, some lost their marriage, some lost their children, some lost their parents, some lost their life. Paul writes to the people in Judea in AD 64, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Do you understand? Being a silent disciple is pretty much okay with Satan to a large degree. You just don't interfere with what he's got going on. You just keep your mouth quiet and let Satan tell people what he wants them to believe. Let the false preacher say what Satan wants them to say. Let the magazines, the books, and the media, let them speak Satan's deceptions. And you, disciple of Jesus Christ, you just be quiet. That's what the world wants to do. They want us to practice our religion inside our little church building and don't affect society. That's not what we've been called to do. In Revelation 7:9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." And on in verse 13, "One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living waters, fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. These are they which came out of great tribulation." Why? Well, you could easily say, these are they who wouldn't hush. These are they who kept speaking God's words. These are they who kept showing Satan to be a liar by God's truth. These are they who provoked Satan's wrath because they countered his deceptions. Otherwise, they wouldn't have come out of great tribulation. The Bible is very clear on that. If Jesus had just stayed in Nazareth and been quiet, no problem. If all he had done is heal some people, no problem. But he chose to speak the words that God told him to speak. You've got one life. When it's all said and done, what will your life count for? When I was 15 years old, I decided I wanted my life to count for speaking God's words. I understood that, that we're in a warfare of ideas. We're in a warfare of truth versus error, deception versus God's light, false reality versus true reality, vanity, emptiness and worthlessness versus what is eternal, what really counts. What is really important? I wanted to be God's voice to my generation. That's why I carried my Bible to school. That's why sometimes I would get up on a concrete planter and preach to the students. That's why there were times where I invited a bunch of these dope heads with skeletons and everything all over their clothes and tattoos and challenged them to come out and sit on the... There's some bleachers out there by the ball field. And I preached to them. While I was preaching to them, one guy in the back row began foaming at the mouth, literally, never seen it before, and jumped off the bleachers and ran away. All of his friends were, as high school terminology, freaked out. Are you speaking God's words? Why not? I can tell you why not. Every time you resist speaking God's words, it's because you've been threatened with pain by the devil. You know, if I speak up and speak truth and speak what is right, there's going to be some pain involved. May not be physically. It may be emotional pain. It may be mental pain. It may be the pain of stressed relationships. It may be the pain of feeling rejected. But the devil's going to see to it. If you open your mouth, there's going to be pain. In Hebrews 2:14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death," listen, "he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able also to succor them that are tempted." In other words, he became a man speaking God's words. He felt the pain. He felt the rejection. He came into his own, and his own received him not. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world rejected him. He felt the pain. He felt the pain of the nails, and he did it to destroy in you and me the fear of death that kept us in bondage. If you fear the pain, you fear death in some form, then Satan has a power over you that's going to shut your lips to avoid that death, to avoid that pain, to avoid that loss. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you're going to have to be faithful unto death. There's someone hearing my voice this morning, and they've been shy about speaking God's words. They've been in bondage through fear of pain, fear of criticism, fear of embarrassment, fear of accusation, fear of betrayal, fear of loss, the death to prestige, the death to prosperity, the death to your pride, the death to your reputation, your comfort, some sort of death. The devil is saying, if you want to avoid tribulation, hush. If you want to avoid backlash, be quiet. In 2022, the advocacy group Open Doors said that at least 360 million Christians worldwide experienced high levels of persecution and discrimination. It is said that this was 20 million higher than 2021. One thing that characterizes the last days was the man of sin, the beast, the Antichrist, gaining global power and overcoming the saints in the sense of putting them to death. They overcame Satan, By the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. But the Bible says he was given power over the saints to kill them. And the ones in heaven under the altar said, "Oh Lord, how long? How long will you not avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And a voice told them, "Wait a little while until the rest of your brothers and sisters suffer death like you have." So the question I have for you this morning, you've got one life. I don't know what your core purpose is in life, what you're wanting to do. Maybe have some adventure. I just want to have some adventure. The devil says to you, look, you want to have fun, you want to have prosperity, you want to have adventure. Don't be going speaking God's words. Don't be living to promote God's truth. Don't be giving your mouth to the propagation of righteousness, truth, and right doctrine. You just leave that alone, and you can have your fun, your adventure, your prosperity. But I wonder if there's anyone in here like I did when I was a young man. But it didn't matter if you're re-enlisting or not. I wonder how many, hearing my voice, will say, "Lord, I give you my mouth. I want to speak your words to my world. I want to be a channel of your truth to my generation. I count it an honor, a high privilege, and the greatest purpose a life could have." Well, you know the devil's going to say, you know that's going to hurt. You know that's going to be painful. He's going to say everything in his book, everything he can find, just and all he wants you to do is hush. That's all he's concerned about. In Mark 8:34, Jesus had called the people unto him with his disciples. He said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life," that's what we're talking about, you hush, mind your own business, don't you be propagating God's words, "shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the words," God's words. What does the word gospel mean? Right. God's words. Gospel, good news, or God's spell. God's spell. The good spell. Okay, that's an old Anglo-Saxon word. And you say, spell, that sounds almost like witchcraft. Did you take a spelling book? Did you have a spelling book? Did you learn how to spell in English?
No.
Talking about words. Okay? When a witch casts a spell, that's an incantation, words. So, the gospel is God's words, which is always good news, right? Mm-hmm. It's the truth in a world of lies. The lies are more prominent now than they have ever been. The government's promoting them. The scientists are promoting them. The doctors are promoting them. The media, everybody's pushing false narratives, lies. In every realm, God is looking for someone who's going to give their life for his sake and the gospel's. And the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And there are antinomian eternal security people out there who will say, "Oh, ashamed. That just means God will take you. You'll still be saved. God will just be ashamed of you." Sorry. In Luke it says, "He that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." Paul said, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." I never knew you. That's denial. Mm-hmm. Depart from me. That's denial. Say, Brother Mark, doesn't look like we have much choice. Oh, yeah, you do. You can hush. You can avoid the stress, avoid the strain, avoid the pain, avoid the loss. When those soldiers went up into the Piedmont Valleys, they were merciless. Families were destroyed. People were tortured, slaughtered. Everything you can think of that merciless soldiers would do. They were decimated. Why? Because they were the mouthpiece of God's words. And Satan finally had enough. The Roman Catholic popes, the Duke of Savoy, they said, we've got to get rid of these people. We can't have these people pointing out our sin and hypocrisy. The priests, the cardinals, the bishops, they couldn't have these people pointing out their false teaching, whereby they were making lots of money, the selling of indulgences, transubstantiation, the infallibility of the Pope. They couldn't have these people pointing out their lies to the common folk. Satan still feels the same way. He doesn't want you being the mouthpiece, the voice of Jesus Christ to your generation. So you've got a choice to make. You say, Brother Mark, that means I've got to study. I've got to really know my Bible, yeah? That's right. Unless you want to just wing it and say a lot of things that aren't true. The devil would love for you to do that. He don't mind you just running your mouth. But when you're speaking God's words, he has a real problem with that. What else are you going to do? Just try to fly under the devil's radar. I don't want him after me. I don't want to suffer. Is that what you want to do? Avoid suffering now so you can be suffering for eternity? Because whose words you're speaking means that's the team you've joined. You want to just be quiet and let the devil's lies go on by? God's going to say you must be on his side. Let's stand together. The picture of God taking and refining the people and bringing a third part through the fire, refining them as gold and silver, and saying, this is my people. That's what it's all about. That's why Living Faith Christian Fellowship? Why do we come on Sunday? Why do we come? Why are we doing this? There may come a day when the hedge that is protecting us is removed and we suffer great damage because we won't be quiet. Are we being quiet now? Are you being quiet because the devil keeps beating you over the head with your own faults and failures? Guarantee you start being a mouthpiece for God's words in an appropriate, godly, biblical way. There will be pain attached. How much pain? I don't know. How much is God going to allow in my life? I don't know. It might be unto death. Is that okay? Oh, I'm willing to go climb Mount Everest. What if you die? Well, that's okay. You know, this is an adventure. Are you willing to give your life to speak God's words? If your life purpose, young people, is to be the mouthpiece of God's words,
a lot of the questions you have about your future would be cleared up. You listening to me? A lot of the questions about should I do this, should I do that, what, you know, a lot of those questions would be cleared up. Because now I'm zoned in on speaking God's word. That means I've got to live God's words. I've got to demonstrate God's words. I've got to study God's words. I've got to know God's words. I've got to get understanding of appropriateness. So a lot of your questions about what am I going to do, where am I going to go, what's my future, should I do this, should I do that, should I go here, should I go there, a lot of those would be answered real clear if you get your mind on being the mouthpiece of God for your generation and realize everything else is a part-time job, so this is your full-time job. Everything else supplements this. If you would get that one thing straight, so many of the things that toss you to and fro would be cleared up immediately. Any thoughts before we close?
Well, the thought came to me is there's going to be suffering one way or the other. You can suffer in your own stupidity, you know, believing the devil's lies, suffer the natural consequences of that, or you can suffer for something worthwhile.
Right. The way of transgressors is hard. Duh. Living stupid is hard, right? Yeah, you're going to suffer either way. I'd rather go down in the battle of speaking God's words. If I'm going to die, if my blood's going to be shed, if I'm going to suffer death, I don't want it to be because I was doing something for adventure and entertainment, or I was trying to, you know, doing. That's why when I was a young person, that's why I gave my life to the Lord, I gave up rodeo. I knew the devil would love to break my neck, and I wasn't going to give him any extra chance. There's going to be suffering either way. God promises you someday he will wipe away all tears from those who suffer in his cause. Satan can't promise you that. Remember. Let's pray.